Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugar coating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sukanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Ahoy, Portland.
Tally-ho, yes. Again.
On a beautiful Thursday, dare I say, I'm not going to say smoke-free, a lesser smoked sky here over the Rose City.
The haze has lifted and blown off to the east.
Yeah, this is solid right here. I'll take this.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
So this is kind of what I'm hoping for, because next week I'm supposed to go on vacation down to Lake Shasta.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, and we got a houseboat that we're supposed to be toiling around on.
Really? Spending some of that 79th best radio show money, I see.
Nah, it was one of those things where I wasn't going to be able to afford to do it.
Yeah.
Houseboats are expensive.
I don't know. I don't own one. I've never rented one.
Nor do I.
Never even been on one.
Me neither. This is my first.
Now,
this
before we go sideways.
Which is about to happen.
Do you have to physically pilot the houseboat around?
Yes.
Will you be driving the houseboat?
Yes. I may or may not have a captain's hat.
Okay, first of all, if you don't have a captain's hat.
Yeah, you darn well better.
Yeah, I will be disappointed.
First off, I do. We've had one at the station for like 12 years, and I don't know where it came from or why it's there, but it's sat back there kind of like in where we sit, and I don't know where it came from, but you better believe that once I rented the boat, that captain's hat came home with me, and I will not take it off the entire time I'm there.
Years ago at where I work, we had the group that I work for had we dressed up for Halloween as a theme.
Yeah.
And we did Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
And I was the fat guy, so I had to be the skipper. And so I needed a captain's hat. Yeah. And so I went to like a boating store and I bought a captain's hat. They're like $80.
Really?
It's ridiculous.
And now, did you buy like a little, because there's two kinds of captain's hats.
It looked just like the skipper's hat.
Because there's the skipper's one, which is like what this is. It's kind of, I don't know, it's smaller on your head. And then there's like the Captain Stubing hat.
No.
Like you're going to pilot the Love Boat. And that's more like a naval hat. You feel like you should salute it.
No, it looked just like what the skipper wore.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm telling you this story is I no longer have it because it cost $80. So the day after.
Took it back?
I took it back.
Yeah.
Because they didn't suspect it was for a Halloween costume.
No.
They thought I was out sailing the seven seas. Never mind, it was October 30th.
Well, it is Portland, though. Well, that they should have known. But in Portland or in thereabout that general area, I feel like the captain's hat is probably something you see from time to time out and about.
Sure.
Like if I'm walking around, I don't know if you've ever been out. Like maybe you've gone to a concert.
Oh, I've been out.
Well, like there's a section up, like I don't go out at night,
right?
Well, you're old and married and I'm old and just sit at my house.
Yes.
I'm not out and about on the town.
No, I'm watching baseball.
Yes. I don't call you up on a Friday night and say, John, you know what we're doing tonight? We're going to bang the city head on.
Some drinks, some nightlife.
A little dancing.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't happen.
But occasionally I'll find myself out. Like if you go to the Roseland or what, like the Star Theater, wherever, like you're going to go see a concert. And there's that area in downtown Portland that it's like by the Chinatown, like Voodoo Donuts is down there. And, you know, there's bars and they warden that thing off. Like you can't drive up and down a couple block radius.
Right.
They shut it down on the weekends and it's like the little party section. You go out to that place, you would not blink twice at a captain's hat.
Really?
No. In fact, I think if you saw or wore the captain's hat, I think that would be the most normal thing you'd see when you're out there.
Really?
Go stand in front of Dante sometime and wear a captain's hat and see if anyone even looks twice.
That's just par for the course in Portland is what you're telling me.
It's like a bogey. It might even be a double bogey.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I had no idea that captain's hats were that acceptable in Portland.
Yeah.
Didn't know.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah. Yep. But I don't have one. So
no.
I'm just saying, I'm a little worried now that I know you have to pilot the boat.
Yes.
Because I don't know what is driving a houseboat entail.
Don't know.
Is that...
I mean, there'll be some sort of like tips and pointers.
Manual?
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the boat that way really fast.
Sure.
And if something gets in my way...
Turn.
That's my strategy.
Right.
John, I sail. Ahoy. I'm a sailor.
Way far away from the dock.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let the boat do all the work.
This is your strategy.
It's going to be my secret.
Well, I ask just this of you.
Yeah.
One, that you have a captain's hat and that you wear it.
Sure.
And that two,
yeah,
you take a red marker or crayon or something and you name the boat.
Ooh, I didn't think about that.
And you write that, you know, and you don't have to go like the boat or the SS Minnow or whatever. I know your dream has been to have a boat named the Old Asian Whore.
It's going
to
be fantastic.
I get that, but maybe
or
not.
The Wild Hooker.
Maybe not the right family vacation for that name.
I feel like it's right up my family's alley.
I'd ask you to wear a captain's hat.
Yeah.
I would ask you to write the name of the boat on the boat. And I would ask you to have a brief launching ceremony. You don't have to like break a bottle of Martinelli's on the boat or anything, but I would like you to have a brief ceremony at the shore that may or may not include, it's easy to grin when your ship comes in.
And you have the stock market beat.
So
I need an ascot too.
Yeah, just do that for me. And then at least one photo tweeted at. You don't have to match her up and go shirtless, but I would like one captain pose with the hat.
Yeah.
Driving the ship out into the water, way far away from the dock.
I'm hoping with a bottle of Captain Morgan's as well. Maybe my leg up on something.
Right.
Can a parrot be involved?
Right.
I don't know.
I picture the Boats and Hoes video from Step Brothers. And then in the middle of us watching this, somebody says, who's driving? And then it crashes. That's kind of what I'm expecting.
Well, it is interesting that, you know, they're renting me this boat. And at no point was there any sort of questionnaire. There was none. Have I driven a boat before?
Right.
There was no safety course. I literally just called up and was like, I'd like to rent a boat. And they're like, all right, how about this one? And I said, well, that's good enough. And
sure. Yeah,
what week do you want? I'll take this one. And away you go. I'm assuming when I get there, there's some sort of liability, but I got the insurance on it.
Wise.
Yeah. The insurance was like $25 a day.
Yeah,
but if you wreck the boat, it's like $300,000. And so I was like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and take that.
Yes.
I don't know what this entails, but apparently on Sunday, someone is handing me the keys to a houseboat. And then for a week, I just get to go do whatever it is I want. And I'm just going to assume that it's like a Ron Swanson thing. My permit's just going to be a piece of paper that says I get to do what I want.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe the audience out there, if you've driven a houseboat around, you know, send us some tips here. I just like, does it go slow enough that you really can't cause any damage? And you, like, are you familiar with the law of the sea? Like, is you pass on the right?
No,
you have
I
to
got,
give the right away to somebody.
I literally got nothing.
I
don't know. I'm just going to go and we'll figure it out.
Okay.
Look, if something's going to happen, it's going to happen out on the water, right?
International waters. No bet. All bets are off.
Let's light the fires or kick the tires. Light the fires. Let's see what's happening here.
Okay.
But I called down there to ask them about the fires. That's how this whole thing got started.
Right.
I called down and I said, hey, it's really bad up here in Portland where I'm at. And I said, I'm supposed to be down there in a week. Hey, what's the deal? And the lady gave me one of these. Some days it's good. Some days it's bad. Take your pick. It's like, well, can I get my money back? No. They won't give you money back.
No.
You can bump it to a different week
right.
if you want, but they're like, yeah, you don't get your money back.
No.
So I was like, well, is it bad? And they just kind of gave me the, I don't think it's great, but I don't think it's terrible, which is kind of like today.
Sure.
It's not terrible. They're telling us officially that it's no longer a hazard.
It's no longer dangerous.
Unless you're in a sensitive group.
Okay.
They said that. If you're a sensitive group, which I don't know if you mean like emotionally
right.
sensitive or
are you emotionally fragile.
It's very fragile. Like if you're a conscientious objector, apparently don't go outside. But if you're like, if you're, I don't know, red blooded, you know, American male and you're in halfway decent shape, then suppose you can be outside. I think Sprague said he went out for a jog today. It wasn't that bad. So apparently the fire crisis is over. We're no longer all going to die. And apparently I'm going to captain a boat and I may or may not crash the damn thing.
Okay.
I don't know, but we'll see what happens.
I'm excited.
I'm excited about it though.
As well you should be.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to be able to, that my giant radio money, those things were so expensive. And so I was like, I can't swing this. And apparently peak season ends like August 20th. Really? So I was like online and I looked at it and the cost was like almost 65% less. So I called down there and was like, hey, is this a mistake? They're like, no, peak season's over.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. So apparently if you're going to rent a houseboat, don't do it during peak season.
The day after peak season. Genius.
Yeah, no one wants them. Like, I'm guessing like that industry only exists for like 3 months.
It's a limited industry, I would imagine.
Yes. I'm guessing you can get quite a sweet deal on one if you're willing to head down there in the middle of November.
But
like, if you want to spend Thanksgiving out on a houseboat, I'm sure you can get a steal of a deal. If you want to go apparently in the middle of July and like go down there for the 4th, I'm guessing that's going to cost you a pretty penny.
It does surprise, like, the concept of the peak season and the off season is totally understandable.
Yeah.
What surprises me is that that's the delineation. So August 20th.
Yes.
Peak season. August 21st. Nobody's here.
Well, I think some of that is like the end of the year. Like kids going back to school.
Sure.
So our kids start school the next week.
You're right. 28th, I think. Over yeah.
So we were going to try to go at the beginning of August, but me being as lazy as I am, it takes me a while to put things together.
I'm surprised you pulled this off.
I know. And so I was looking at this and I was like, you know what? I'd have to leave like in a week. Cause Rob was going down to Kansas. So I couldn't be gone this week. And so I was like, well, maybe I can go at the end of the month. And that's when I looked at the end of the month and it turned out it was super ass cheap.
Off season.
So away I go.
Advantage you.
Yes. So Rob is back tomorrow. Sooks of Hazard here today. And then I don't know what the hell Rob's doing next week. Rob's doing whatever it is Rob's doing.
He'll figure it out.
But tomorrow we're out at the Winco Open. I think Russ, you're with us tomorrow too, right?
That is correct, sir.
Yeah, Lynch will be back on Monday as well. So it'll be Lynch and Rob, all next week. And then tomorrow, the crew minus Mike Lynch will all be back out. So come on, join us. We'll be out at Pumpkin Ridge. But today we got the Sooks of Hazard. Angie Machado, Beaver Blitz is going to join us at 4:00. We're kind of doing our whip around the Pac-12. We're trying to get Adam Jude on of the Seattle Times up there, but he scroogied us.
Mm.
We had something come up, so we will not be able to talk Huskies football, which I know you're disappointed.
That's a shame.
I know. Is it paying you to know that Washington's about to go on about a 10-year run here?
No,
and
because
dominate the Pac-12?
I fully expect sanctions to come out any day now. And
against Chris Peterson?
Yes, and undermine the Chris Peterson regime. Look, right. Nobody can be that good and clean. So I'm just biding my time. I'm ignoring that they're really good, and I'm just biding my time until the sanctions bring the program down.
Yeah, so Angie Machado will join us at 4:00. We'll talk a little Oregon State camp, see what's happening with Jonathan Smith and crew down there in Corvallis, and see if there's any chance they, maybe outkick some expectations, because not a whole lot of thought about this Beaver squad this year. But when we come back, let's go a little baseball. I want to talk about what happened. We touched on it briefly towards the end of the show, but it's kind of become the big story with Acuna.
Yeah, it's
down
been a big
there
deal
in
now.
Atlanta, and you know, just some really old school baseball guys to me just sounded like a bunch of jackasses.
It
does look like
this just came across. Urania was suspended 6 games.
Really? So he missed one start.
Basically.
Did Mattingly get popped for any?
I have not seen that yet.
Because there was some talk last night that they were wanting to suspend the pitcher that hit him and Mattingly, because supposedly there's a story going around that Mattingly ordered. And you talk about old school baseball. I mean, Donnie Baseball is old school.
So we'll touch upon that when we come back. Sooks of Hazard here on The Fan.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
So this happened yesterday as we were getting ready to go into the club, and that was Ronald Acuna Jr., who really, along with the Soto kid from Washington, are kind of the two breakout stars in Major League Baseball.
One of the big young stars, teenage kid, really highly touted prospect, and he's really come up and had a good year for the Braves.
Plays the game with a lot of flair. Yeah, he's got a little of that bat flip stuff, and that kind of rubs people the wrong way. But and the Braves have been a nice story too. I mean, the Braves are legit. We talked about this the last 2 years. They were kind of the baby Braves, and they've come of age and are a pretty good baseball team. And so this guy has been on a roll. I think he's hit, what, home runs in five straight games. I think he's led off the, what, three of them
with home runs. Homered in five straight, and then they moved him to the leadoff spot, and he had homered in three straight. So really on a tear, hitting like 500 over this six or seven game stretch. Really, really on a tear, and was kind of the big story in baseball going into yesterday's games. You know, obviously, would he do it again? And kind of a big deal. And apparently, the mighty Marlins
and Don Mattingly
decided not on their watch.
Yeah, so supposedly the rumor goes is that Mattingly told is it Jose Urena here to just go out and plunk him, and he dropped a 97 to 98 mile an hour fastball into the guy's elbow, and Acuña ended up having to leave the game. Now it sounds like they did a CT scan on, he's going to be okay, and he's going to be back up into the lineup tonight. But it amazes me that in 2018, we're still having to have this debate. Like, if you said, what's the headline story today? It's why we're kind of leading off the show, minus me drunk on a houseboat. Like, that has kind of become the biggest story going on right now.
It's become a big deal in baseball. And I didn't, when it happened yesterday, I was like, oh my gosh, but I didn't think it would be this big a deal. And it's really, like you said, you go to any of the major baseball websites, it's the lead story right now.
Yeah, and yet you still, my favorite is there's a clip going around of Keith Hernandez, who just, if you look at Keith Hernandez now, like at one point that guy was an MVP and a stallion. You look at him now and he's just a bloated New Yorker, and he does commentary for the Mets. And apparently Keith Hernandez thinks that this is great. Also remember that Keith Hernandez is the same guy that said women don't belong in dugouts. But Keith Hernandez says that you have to do it. Not that the Marlins should have done it, but they have to do it. Johnny was too good.
Right.
It's just that you had to take him out. What, they've been dominating you in this series. And by the way, the Marlins are garbage. The Marlins aren't playing for a damn thing. It just, this has become an argument, and you've got guys like Keith Hernandez, these old school, quote, keepers of the game.
Right.
This amazes me that we're 2018 and this is even a thing. I think it was, it might have been Darren Revelle or may have been Kirchen, but someone kind of tweeted about this and saying, this is the equivalent if you've got a guy on the mound that's dominating you and he's like got a perfect game through the seventh inning, you going out to the mound and hitting him with a bat. Like you out and just you bludgeon him because he's too good. Like how is this? It to me, baseball is such a great game. It's probably my favorite sport, but stuff like this, it cannot get out of its own way. It evolve or die. For all the talk that and crap that we pitch football, at least football understands that there is an audience here. And you're trying to give the audience what they want. And, you know, it's the whole protecting the quarterback thing. I get that changes the way the game is played, but no one wants Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers to not be in the game.
Right.
But apparently in Major League Baseball, it's not a big deal if your best, brightest, youngest star gets hurt because he's too good.
Well, you know, and I'm looking, here's Hernandez's quote. He says, quote, they're killing you. And he's talking about the Braves right now who had hammered the Marlins over the course of this series.
Well, everyone's hammered the Marlins. They're terrible.
Says they're killing you. You've lost three games in a row. He's hit three home runs. You have to hit him. I'm sorry. People aren't going to like that. You've got to hit him. Knock him down at least. I mean, seriously, knock him down if you don't hit him. You never throw at anybody's head or neck. You hit him in the back. You hit him in the fanny. In today's game, they don't throw at hitters enough. I don't think hitters know. So they don't know how to get out of the way of the ball or know it's coming. So
your argument, again, a last place Miami Marlins team
right,
is getting bludgeoned by the first place Atlanta Braves and arguably the most talented rookie in major. He's not arguably, he's the most talented rookie in baseball.
Right.
And you are going to hurt him. You are going to take a 97 or 98 mile an hour fastball and you're going to throw it at him, but it's not a big deal because you're going to aim at his fanny. What if you hit him in the ribs and you break his ribs? Right. What if you break his elbow and he's out for a month? He's out for 2 months.
Right.
All because the garbage Miami Marlins need to send some sort of message.
And what does that do? I mean, strike the guy out. It doesn't make you play any better. It's one of those things that, you know, I love baseball. It is my favorite sport. And I tend to agree more. Like, I like the unwritten rules of baseball. I like that kind of stuff. But this is kind of silly. I agree with this. It's silly that you come out and you plunk this kid first.
Yeah.
It's just silly. But it doesn't, I'll tell you this, it doesn't surprise me that guys like Hernandez and quote unquote the old school baseball guys, this reaction doesn't surprise me. it probably surprises me that we haven't heard more people come out in favor. I guess Chipper Jones came out. Now, he's a Brave and obviously sticking up for the Braves, but he came out and blasted Hernandez.
Yeah, he said, this is ridiculous. He goes, I'm as old school it is, but he brought up the fact that Jacob DeGrom right now is the best pitcher in baseball.
Right.
And no one can hit him. So is it okay to go out now when DeGrom's at the plate, right? When if he's at the dish in the National League hitting, so is it okay now to go and hit him in the back so that he can't pitch against you?
Right.
Would that be considered gutless?
Yeah.
Because that's Freddie Freeman, who is the Braves first baseman, called this gutless.
Right.
And I can't see this going on in any other sport. And Better You Today, text line 55305. This guy says, I don't understand why baseball gets bashed for this. This happens in every sport, football, basketball, hockey. They're trying to set the young guys in their place. No, this doesn't happen in every other sport.
It doesn't feel like it does, right? I mean, I don't, and maybe, in, maybe in it's way? Just, right. And that's kind of what I'm thinking is maybe, you know, maybe baseball is more pronounced because you're standing out there alone and, the batter's up there alone and the pitcher and the ball and the thing. Within the context of football, there's violence on every play. People are getting – so how do you judge it? Maybe in football somebody is going over to the middle and I'm going to hit so that new receiver extra hard in the ribs. Maybe that does happen, but it sure feels like this old school – play the game this way, these old keepers of the game, Keith Hernandez type, it sure feels more pronounced in baseball. And we see it more often for sure.
Well, it's cheap. Like it's, I don't understand how that's part of the game. You're intentionally trying to hurt someone. So you're telling me in football that, Odell Beckham goes over the middle and we just deliberately have a guy that's like, we're going to go head hunting for him. We're going to, the Greg Williams thing. No, football evolved past that. And that's why I said I give football some credit in this way. Football realized a number of years ago, and some people don't like it, but football realized that at the heart of this, we all want to think that sports is somehow romanticized and can't change. And the NFL, better than anyone else, realized that this is not some sort of national pastime religion. This is a business. It's a billion-dollar business.
Right.
And we are going to try to give the fans the best product that they want to see. And they figured out that guys getting carted off the field on stretchers, guys dying from head trauma, guys blowing out knees, quarterbacks, and having to play backup quarterbacks was not what they want. And I applaud them for that. And Major League Baseball suspended the guy from the Marlins today, 6 games.
That's came across.
It's one start. I'd like to see Major League Baseball, because to me, baseball could get rid of this with one swipe of the pen. Hey, you intentionally hurt someone? Great. What is the first PED suspension? What is it, 50, 60 games?
Mm-hmm.
You throw at a guy intentionally, and great. Here's 50 games. It's gone. Well, I mean, it's gone tomorrow.
Cano just got 80.
80.
So it's 80. I think it used to be 50.
Give him, you give someone, you start handing out 30, 40 game suspensions and eliminates this. And let me ask the question. If you got rid of this in baseball, if you got rid of intentionally throwing at someone because they're good, or somehow they've pissed you off by hitting a home run, which is, again, I just find it the most laughable thing ever, that we want to hurt you because you're good at what you do. How does that change baseball for the worse?
Right.
To the Keith Hernandezes of the world and the old school baseball guys, and that's, 55305, Better You Today text line. Tell me, in what way does that hurt baseball?
Right. I don't think that it does. I think you just... And you have these people in every sport. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. You have the whole, it was better in the old days, right?
Yeah.
You have that crowd, and they're in every sport. I mean, how often do you hear that in the NBA? Oh, back in the NBA, or back in, when Jordan was playing, or when Magic and Bird were playing, it was a different game. It was a better game, right? And you have that in every sport. So I don't think that you can regulate that out. You're just going to always fast forward 30 years. And the new there will be people now saying, oh, back when I grew up watching the Blazers, the game was played this way. So I don't think you can ever get rid of it. And I don't know that you can. Let me ask you this. So clearly he did it on purpose. Clearly he comes out. So let's say that he waits till the second at bat and he waits till it's a 2-1 count and he plunks him in the back. And it's not, how do you regulate what's intentional? I mean, if you wanted to hide it, you can hide it, right? Guys get hit. That happens. But clearly this was intentional. There was a stat yesterday that said The fastball was 97.5, which was the fastest first pitch that he had thrown all year. So he geared it up.
Yep.
He geared it up, and he may have not been trying to hit him in the wrist and hurt him.
He was
sending a message.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, he was going to send a message. Yep. So I don't know that you can regulate that out of the game, and I don't know that you're ever going to get rid of the people that, you know, the Keith Hernandez is out there. I don't know that you're going to ever get rid of that. So it is kind of funny that it's this big a story, but
we'll talk about it when we come back. Text us your thoughts. Better you today. Text line 55305. Cause I'll answer that. The difference between intentional and intent. Cause I think intent can be a hard thing to prove or a hard thing to figure out, but I don't think that's a reason to not make the attempt. Okay. That when we come back. Sooks of Hazzard here on The Fan.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Talking about the Acuna situation and Ronald Acuna Jr. getting plunked. Urrea, the pitcher that hit him, got 6 games today. So basically one, maybe two starts. And
well, if you push a start back a game, he may not miss a start.
Yeah, yeah, you could. Depending on, you know, what their schedule is. But, right. You know, he threw yesterday. And,
right. You know, that's always a side note. That's always bothered me.
Yeah, you get 6 games, which ends up being one start. What if and apparently Acuna's gonna be fine, but this is my point. Like, you get hit in the elbow, you break a bone. Like, Aaron Judge is out and you know, has been out a month with a busted bone.
What happened to Cano?
Yeah.
It wasn't intentional, but yeah. Cano got plunked in the wrist, fractured.
Yeah.
It just turned out that he was gonna get popped for something else anyway. But yeah, that's always bothered me. And I'm not sure why baseball hasn't fixed that. I mean, that's just glaring, right? And it comes up every time a pitcher gets suspended. In order to really impact a pitcher, you'd have to suspend them for 15 games.
Yes.
And I don't know that they have a suspension that heavy.
I just feel like if baseball wanted to, that they would eliminate this. Because I feel like most other sports have made an attempt
sure.
to evolve in this way, and baseball has not. And you brought up intent, right? Clearly, this was on purpose. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Right. But you said, what if you waited until the second inning?
Right. You could do it in a way that you could have plausible deniability. If you gear up and throw 98 on the first pitch and plunk him, hard to say that it wasn't intentional. Yeah. But again, if you wait into an at bat and you hit him in a 2-1 count, or maybe even wait till somebody's on. I mean, you could do it in a way that you could have deniability.
And I think there's the difference between that and what happened, and I get maybe it's a little convoluted to say at least make them work for it, but I do think that there is an element to, if it's that easy to do, to hide it, and you're just blatantly giving you the FU, the double birds, right? Like we you brought up in football, going over the middle, right? You can go lay someone out, and there's a difference between laying someone out even if you're looking for them. You're like, hey, we in football, we called it taking a number, right? You're like, hey, that mother, you know, whatever, 54. Right. If I get a chance, I'm going to cut him.
Absolutely.
Right? He comes through on a blitz, I'm going low.
And that happens all the time.
I think there's a difference between that and saying, hey, I'm going to wait till after the play and he's standing by the huddle and I'm going to go dive for a leg. And I get maybe you're doing the essentially the same thing. But to me, there is a difference in intent. And I think you can clearly see when intent matters. And if you do a good enough job to hide intent, fine. Then you get away with it. But when you come out and blatantly cheap shot someone to the point of you're trying to hurt them, and you can't tell me that the Keith Hernandezes of the world, that when you throw something 97, 98 miles an hour, whether I hit you in the ass, whether I hit you in the back, what is the intent of that? To hurt you.
To hurt you.
You know, but hey, I don't want to hurt him that bad, right? Imagine if that happened in any other sport. Hey, what were you trying to do on that? I was trying to hurt him. I just wanted to put him out for the game. I didn't want to like break a bone or anything. It's just, it's ridiculous that exists. So to me, intent does matter. And I think that you should legislate based on intent. You plunk someone inside and there's some question. I get it. You give him a start or two. But when you clearly know that someone set out to give that guy an FU, sit his ass down, sit him down for 30 games, sit him down for 40 games and make him miss a handful of starts. And I don't know if this has something to do why this bothers me so much, but the fact that it was a last place team and a first place team really gets me.
Sure.
I mean, for Keith Hernandez to say that they've beat you 3 in a row and that they're killing you, Everyone's killing you. You're the Marlins.
Right.
You're in last place. You're a garbage team. You're what? I'm looking at you. You're 20 games back or whatever it is. You're 22 back of the Braves.
Yeah.
And you're going to go out and plunk and possibly take out arguably their second best player?
Yeah, I agree. I just don't think you can ever legislate intent. I just don't think you can. And
you can cheap shots.
Well,
so if someone's standing around on a football field or in a hockey game and you come up and there's no one around and it's behind the play and you go hit someone in the head, you bet your ass you can legislate intent.
Yeah, you can. I guess it's a little bit different when you're talking about, you know, a pitch. And these guys are the best in the world, but even the best in the world miss. I mean, you and I were at a game last year where Haniger got hit in the face by DeGrom.
Yeah.
There's no intent there.
No. And you could see it. The moment that ball, you know, hit him, DeGrom like went down to the ground and you could tell. And that's why I'm saying intent isn't that hard to figure out.
No, it really probably isn't. But I'm switching sports here again. With the dumpster fire that has been the NFL doling out punishment, do you really want Goodell sitting there dealing with intent?
Yes, I do. I say this all the time in college football. And again, we're jumping around here and we're doing apples to oranges or apples to grapefruits or whatever it is we want to do.
But it's the larger topic it happened in baseball, yep. But you know, we have the text line is full of people talking about other sports. So it's a bigger sports topic,
yep.
And it happens in other sports. It's just maybe more visible in baseball. I don't know.
Sure. So in college football all the time, and I appreciate that they're trying to get rid of the helmet-to-helmet rule, the helmet-to-helmet hits. But in college football, it's an ejection, right? Targeting is an automatic ejection. And I hate that because I think intent should 100% come into play. You see it all the time in college football where receivers going over the middle, DBs coming in to try to break up or to make a tackle, and he starts his launch angle and he's going and the receiver catches the ball. And what does the receiver do when he realizes he's about to get hit? He goes down,
sure.
Right? You curl up a little bit.
Sure.
And as that guy goes down, the impact shrinks, you know, from a height, you know, a foot or two. And the DB who is aiming for the guy's back or chest ends up hitting him where? In the helmet.
Right.
And it's gone because by the letter of the law, it's helmet to helmet. I have no problem if you want to say that's a 15-yard penalty, but intent should 100% come into that. I should be able to look at that and say there's no way he intended that to be a dirty hit. He did not intend for that to be a helmet-to-helmet hit, as opposed like the one we saw in the preseason with the Seahawks.
Sure.
I don't remember the guy's name from the Colts. That guy had time to size him up, lowered his helmet, and went in. That was a conscious decision. I'm leading with the top of my helmet. I can look at a film and say there's intent there. And so, yeah, I do want officials. I do want people that are making these sorts of decisions to take intent into it. Incidental contact that results in an injury that ends up being a bad collision is a lot different than one where someone sets out to hurt someone. I just don't think there's any place in any sport for a guy to say, you're better than I am, and so my solution to it is I'm going to intentionally hurt you. That even bothers me more than just like a heat of the moment thing. Like, hey, you know, two guys going at it, one guy gets a little hot at the other guy's pissed him off and he does something that he probably shouldn't. You're like, yeah, that was cheap.
Sure.
I can almost live with that more than I can. You're better than me. So here, I'm just gonna hurt you. This leaves a real bad taste in my mouth.
Sure. Yeah, understandable. I just don't, it's one of those murky areas that I don't know. I don't know the right answer for that.
Yeah.
I don't know how you regulate it the right way. I don't know how you legislate it the right way. I don't think you'll ever get old school fan of whatever sport out of the way. There's just going to be that group of people. I knew when this happened yesterday, you'd have half the people saying, oh, this is egregious. You'd have half the people saying, you know, teach him to get out of the way.
Yep.
Right?
And Better You Today text line says, funny coming from a guy who blew up a guy's knee in college and has no qualms about it. Yeah, I did that. And I, by the way, I should have been kicked out of that game. 100%. We've told that story before. We were playing University of Wyoming and I had a busted ankle and the guy kept trying to kick me in it. And I did. I was pissed. He kept trying to purposely go after that foot and was telling me about it. And I did. I took a cheap shot on him and I did. I ended up hurting him. And, you know, looking back on it, boy, I'm like, yeah, that's not so good. But at the time, absolutely. I was like, hey, F you, you're going to hurt me. I'm going to try to hurt you.
Sure.
Should I have been kicked out of that game? 100%.
Sure.
Can't believe that I wasn't. You know, that's what I'm saying. There's no place for it. I'm not saying that you can't be guilty of it and you get caught up in the moment and those sorts of things. But again, is there a place for that? Should that have been okay? Should I have been like, well, that guy was trying to hurt me, so I went and hurt him. Hey, no harm, no foul. No.
Just go back to the gladiator days. And at the middle of the second quarter, just randomly release tigers out onto the field. And if somebody gets mauled, they get mauled. I'm all in. Let's do that.
How about that? Let's talk a little uniform when we come back, because someone released their uniforms this season and it kind of blew up the internet.
Oh, boy.
But I want to talk more about maybe the t-shirts. Did you see the sideline shirts?
Oh, I saw it.
I need to talk about the cost of this sideline shirt. That when we come back. And then a little Beaver football coming up with Angie Machado of Beaver Blitz at 4 o'clock. Sooks a Hazard here on The Fan.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Oregon is ahead of the curve on a lot of things. And the branding, I do not think there is a better brand in college football than Oregon. There's bigger brands, Texas, Alabama, Ohio State. There's not a better brand than what Oregon has done. And it's Nike. I mean, and everyone tries to copy them. In fact, Under Armour today came out and released you know, their uniforms for the Notre Dame game at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, oh boy.
Holy hell.
That's a thing.
What is that?
Well, it's pinstripes.
But this is the thing, like these releasing of the uniforms, right? This is a thing. Every school in the country now tries to do this. Washington State did this a couple years ago. UW does it. I mean, almost everyone does it now, where once they figure out what they're going to wear for what game, the Beavers did this. I think it's in October. They're doing the retro Beaver, which I actually think looks really cool.
Right.
I don't remember what game it's going to be for, but this like uniform release, again, this is an Oregon thing.
Yeah. Oregon invented this.
Yeah. And it's a huge deal when they release theirs. I mean, it's national headlines.
It's amazing to me looking back and not being the back when I played guy, but looking back at how it used to be,
yeah,
and seeing how it is now, it is unbelievably different. And it's a necessity. You have to do it.
Yep.
The kids love it. It's a part of recruiting now. Kids care how many different uniforms I get to wear. What kind of shoes am I going to get? How many different helmets? I tell this story all the time. I played at WSU. I was there 5 years. We wore the same uniforms every single year. Yeah. When I was a senior, for one game, they took the stickers off the helmet and they put the logo that's on there now.
Yeah, because you guys had the curse of Cougars.
Yeah, we had the script Cougars, which I still love.
Yeah.
And that was the big change. And we lost our S. Like that, like, oh my gosh, stickers. We get new stickers on the helmet.
Yeah.
And like, it was a big, like we came out and guys on the other team were like, hey, look, they got new they got new stickers. Like, we didn't get new shoes. No. There was no different colored jersey. There was no alternate black uniform. You wore crimson and you wore white.
Yep.
And that's what you wore. And one game we got stickers. And then Oregon comes along and with Nike totally
dumps it on its head.
It may be, and I don't know that it gets enough credit, it may be one of the single most landscape defining moves that any team has ever done in any sport. And it started right here with Oregon and Nike. Yeah. They have totally revolutionized almost every team in the country. You were talking about the schedule release. USC.
I thought what USC did was pretty kick-ass. I showed this
fun,
to you.
Yes.
This was a while back. I don't remember where we were at. Maybe we were up at Safeco. But I showed this to you that USC's Twitter account had this big thing. It said, breaking news. USC releases color scheme for all the home games this year. And it was their six guys lined up. And they were all wearing the same uniform.
Exact same uniform.
And it said, spoiler alert, a lot of cardinal and gold.
Yeah.
I was like, well, tip
that's
of the
pretty,
cap.
Because that's pretty cool.
They're one of the few teams that doesn't change. Alabama doesn't change.
Right.
USC doesn't change. But even like Ohio State and like Michigan, you know, they mix it up. But
yeah.
Notre Dame released their horrific. It's a combination of the Yankees and Notre Dame. It is awful.
It's not good.
And then Oregon released theirs today. And everyone seems to like Oregon's, except for they use giant braille numbers. You know, like the old people telephones?
Yeah.
You're like where you, like you can't see, and so the each number on the phone is like a square half acre. It's like that.
They're giant numbers.
Yes.
You can see them from space. If you're broadcasting the game from space,
yes,
you can tell if number 97 made the tackle.
And by the way, how about Jalen Jelks' arms?
Yeah.
I guarantee you he did some push-ups before that photo shoot.
Well, of course he did. And you'll notice there's no linemen in the photo shoot.
No.
Linemen don't – I don't think the linemen care as much because the linemen aren't going to look good in any of this.
No.
There's just not
– Jalen Jelks is the guy that gets off the bus first.
Yeah.
He's the guy – hey, why don't you walk out first and let the other team see you because he looks like he's ready to murder you.
Yeah, he looks good.
The unis look good. There's a – they're doing four of them this year. There's a green, there's a black, a white, and a yellow. The wings are back on the helmet. But no metallic, really. Well, I guess the white one has a metallic. But there's a matte black. There's the whatever that neon yellow, kind of a fluorescent green, and then the white. I think they look good, minus the the numbers. But the uniforms aren't for me, and the uniforms aren't for you.
And that's ultimately what you kind of come to understand is nobody really cares what you and I sitting here think.
No.
But apparently, if you're 18 and 19 years old and trying to figure out where you want to go play college football, this is a big deal.
Yeah.
And the fact that Oregon can roll out stuff like this every year, again, it's huge for them. And it's just about every team does it. And they copy Oregon, and it's credit to them. It's an amazing transition on the landscape of college football.
And like I said, for the most part, I think they do a good job.
No, some of the early Oregon stuff really bothered me.
Like the Harrington ones.
I thought those were stupid. But lately... more often than not, when Oregon rolls out on the field, I'm like, oh, all right, okay, that looks pretty sweet.
But to a larger extent, they released the sideline gear. So like when you're not playing or what the coaches are going to be wearing, and Matt Prem of 24/7, he tweeted this out. I've often, am this is how like, you're getting old when you complain about the cost of things. In my mind, a sweatshirt should cost about $30.
Sure.
Like a hooded sweatshirt, right? $30-$40. Wrong. Sweatshirts nowadays are like $80 standard, right?
Minimum 80.
Long sleeve t-shirt, sideline t-shirt. Like if you were hurt or if you were one of the coaches, that sideline t-shirt, $30, right? Long sleeve, dry fit Nike t-shirt, $30, correct?
You'd think.
Oregon's long sleeve t-shirt.
Yeah.
The t-shirt.
Yeah.
$150.
Yeah.
What? $150 for the long sleeve Nike tee, the Oregon tee?
I guess people
afford to stand on the sidelines.
Well, I guess people are going to pay it.
$150.
I think that's ridiculous.
Wow. Now, some of that stuff is really nice. It's all space age fabric and all that, but man, it's insane.
Now, if you're a fan and you buy the $150 t-shirt, do you get to stand on the sidelines?
I feel like you should.
Because that would be worth it, maybe.
I feel like if I spend $150 on a long sleeve t-shirt, yes, I feel like I should get to run down on a kickoff or something. Like maybe in a blowout, like a Chip Kelly blowout or whatever, I should get led to run like wedge. $150.
Maybe that's the next wave in Oregon gear. Look, Oregon revolutionized the uniform. I mean, maybe that's next, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You buy this gear and we'll let you block for a field goal.
Because I saw the t-shirt and I was like, hey, that's a cool shirt. Oh, no, it's not.
Not that cool.
And I'll tell you what, I've done this because I really like some of the Nike workout gear. Mm-hmm. It's really nice stuff.
Sure.
And they've got these... like kind of long sleeve, but they have like vents underneath them and in the back, and they're really good. Like if you, like when I ride my bike or I work out or whatever, but same thing, they're so expensive. So what I've taken to do is this.
Oh boy.
Like if you go to like Fanatics or something and you search like the clearance rack and you don't care what team, because if you buy the normal one, the plain one, it's like $100.
Okay.
And if you buy the Oregon one, it's like $150. But I bought a Drexel one and I bought a VCU one. $20.
Okay. All right. I don't know if that solves the problem for Oregon fans.
Solves it for me.
But Virginia Commonwealth fans are loving that.
That's right. So if you see me out riding my bike, there's a good chance that I'm rocking a Drexel long sleeve Nike dry fit thing. And that shirt is fantastic. And I could give a damn. I don't even know where Drexel is, but the cost was $20. And that right there, go Drexel Dragons?
I guess I'm going to look it up.
Yeah. I support Drexel and I support VCU simply because they were on the clearance rack. Are we come back, our whip around the Pac-12 continues. Angie Machado, Beaver Blitz. We'll talk a little Oregon State football when we come back. Primetime here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.